reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila 13, verse 1. The Lord's ecstatic dancing at Ratayatra. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chanda Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chanda Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Sajiyat Krishna Chaitanya Sri Radha Grena Nartaya Gena Sij Jagatam Chitram Jagannatho Pivismata. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who danced in the front of the car of Sri Jagannath, be glorified. By seeing his dancing, not only was the whole universe held in wonder, but Lord Jagannath himself became very much astonished. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya
Chakshurunmitamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha
Sri Chaitanya
Amrutam Samitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sadhantikam
Vancha Kalpa Dhruvyascha
Kripa Sindhu Vayuscha Patitanam Bhavyo Vaishnavibhyo.
If you were taking a long journey to a distant place, which you may not even return from, and you can only take one book, what book would you bring and why?
Sri Chaitanya
Charitamrita. Lakshmoni, you must be from Brooklyn and your ethnicity must be okay. And there was no electricity. Okay. Anybody else? Chaitanya Charitamrita? Any other books? What? You bring Srimad Bhagavatam?
Yeah. Chaitanya Charitamrita.
You bring Chaitanya Charitamrita? Okay. Well, yes.
I would bring the Saranati Talibapati.
Okay, that's nice. Okay. I'm also going to vote for Chaitanya Charitamrita. And one of the reasons is when Srila Prabhupada took a long journey from which he never knew he'd return, he brought one book, and it was the Chaitanya Charitamrita. which we're reading today. Why do you think he brought that book?
It has everything in it.
Yeah, it has everything. The Chaitanya Charitamrita comes after the teachings, after the writings of the six Goswamis, Srila Rupa Goswami. So it actually has all the summaries of the Satsandarbhas, which is Jiva Goswami's summary of Krishna consciousness. It has Rupa Goswami's Rasa Katha. It has everything in that way. And Prabhupada was relishing this book so much. So in my talk, I figure we'll pick a section and we'll go through it. Each year we do that. And the Lord's ecstatic dancing at Rath Yatra, probably, if you hear the descriptions of these kirtans, it may be the supreme kirtan that ever happened. First of all, Lord Chaitanya was in the kirtan. That enlivens the kirtan. Not only that, by his mystic potency, he expands into every kirtan group. Not only that, he personally organizes the kirtan. See, he has four groups in front of the cart, two on the side and one in the back. And in those kirtan groups, he picks a great kirtaneer. Now, we've heard great kirtaneers, but these are the greatest kirtaneers in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Srivas Thakur, who had a nice service for Lord Chaitanya. He would have 12-hour kirtans at his house every day from 6 in the evening to 6 in the morning with all the associates of Chaitanya. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually instructed him. When all the devotees came to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Chaitanya during the Chaturmasya season in India, when India was pious and more pious, the rains would come at a particular time. And you can't farm at that time, and most of India was a rural economy. So as opposed to the impious United States of America, where you're lucky if you can eke out a two-week vacation, meaning that the day you start, you're already in separation from the vacation because you know it's going to end soon. They would have four-month vacation, and they would come here to Puri to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the sight of them coming to Puri, they come to Puri, and the king, there's so many stories here, but I will get to today's. The king would want to see them, but because he was Vishayi, you see, to rule, you need as much help and manage as possible. So the more the people are inspired to do it, the easier it is to manage. Especially in a volunteer society. So, one way the king did it, because people are generally materialistic and they surrender to power and don't think we don't do it today, rock stars, wealthy people, etc., that the king's service would to be have an accoutrements of opulence, including sometimes harems and gold and diamonds and rubies and palaces and thrones, even if he was very detached. So this poor king, who was a great devotee, King Prataparuja, had the bad karma of having tons of wealth. And because of that, Lord Chaitanya, who was the traditional sannyasi, he wouldn't associate with him. So he wanted to see Lord Chaitanya, and he was with some of his associates. So the devotees come from Bengal, and he sees them, and they come into Puri doing kirtan. And if you know Aryan culture, you know, kirtan and kirtan groups is a long, long tradition. So the king had seen thousands and thousands of kirtan groups. But he said, I've never seen a kirtan group like this kirtan group. I've never seen anything like this. Why?
Because they've been doing kirtan with Lord Chaitanya every night.
True, yes.
Because of so many wonderful devotees.
So many wonderful devotees, okay.
They're coming to see Mahaprabhu.
They're coming to see Mahaprabhu, okay. That's all indicate a great difference.
They're instructed by Mahaprabhu on how to do kirtan.
Yes, but I would say this, they're really doing kirtan. We have this great definition of kirtan that is in an article in the Vaishnava Journal. And with, I don't know, whatever it is, just an interesting fact. It's written by a Sikh subway conductor in New York City. And what Sahari, right?
Yeah,
we see him sometimes. And the definition of kirtan, which is the essence of Lord Chaitanya, he said, Bhava, love of Godhead, the definition of love of Godhead is bhava. And he said, a kirtan is when the bhava is expressed through the discipline of music. So there may be the discipline of music, but if it doesn't come from bhava, it won't be kirtan. Or to the extent that bhava is not there, is to the extent it won't be kirtan. So when you see that type of kirtan, it's completely different. And I've observed, being in ISKCON, where Prabhupada has a parampara coming from him of Shuddhanam, of pure name, of special people who do kirtan. And we all have our favorites. But I'll just give you one example. Sometimes Niranjan Swami comes and does kirtan. And he's a good musician. But somehow or other, immediately when he starts the kirtan, it's like everyone gets absorbed. You know, and if you analyze it, you just can't analyze it from a musical standpoint. So it's something from that heart, and it's so deep. So in Lord Chaitanya, we're going to be reading of this ecstatic kirtan. And he organizes it, because kirtan also... I was giving a lecture in Mayapur on Lord Krishna enters into the forest of Vrindavan. And then it describes the cowherd boys. And then it gives this verse that describes how the cowherd boys do kirtan. And it gave four characteristics which are real interesting. One, it said, mana gani, or something. It was attractive to the mind. It was very attractive to the mind. It also said, shanai. They did it slowly. It's not that kirtan can't be done fast, but generally, it's coming from above. So it said, Shanai, it's done slowly. It said also, the heart was melted. And it said, tad anurupita, it was done appropriate for the occasion. So you had these particular kirtans, and you have Lord Chaitanya's Sarup Damodar. Sarup Damodar was a confidential associate of Lord Chaitanya. And when he'd be in that Gambira, that cave-like room, trying to get this mood of deep devotion, he would nourish it by the kirtans of Sarup Damodar. So what is the characteristic of his kirtan? And a little softer. People come close to you. And then he had different dancers. And Advaita Chari was the dancer in that group. So So they had, and then they had five people responding to each kirtan and the lead kirtan. So that was eight. Then they had two madanga players. The madanga is the incarnation of Krishna's flute in Gaur Lila. So when the madanga is done very, very sweetly, and then they had one lead dancer. And that's also something, like Lord Nityananda's dancing is described as Nityara Madhurya. It's so sweet, because the same thing. When dancing comes from Bhav, it's also such a beautiful thing. So you have an Advaita, and I my own vision, if I meditate on this, he's older and he has arthritis and he can't bend his knees. And when an old man with arthritis who can't bend his knees dances in ecstasy, there can't be anything sweeter. And then the other dances were Hari Das Thakur. Srivas Thakur was the lead singer. Hari Das Thakur dancing. What is that dancing like of Hari Das Thakur? And then in another, Lord Nityananda was dancing in another kirtan. And for Krishna Pandit, who before the 1920s, he went on the original dance marathon. And he danced for 72 hours straight. Now, if you think that's not possible, you haven't met Bhakta Avatar. You don't know who he is. He's been dancing for 30 years straight. So, and then, if that doesn't get ecstatic enough, at a particular time, Lord Chaitanya calls all the kirtans together. And it's interesting. It said the resounding of the sankirtan, you couldn't even hear the instruments. As opposed, you couldn't hear the kirtan, the singing. You couldn't even hear the instruments. And in this article by Sat Hari, right, the subway driver of New York, he described how kirtan works. He describes that there's rag and there's tal, there's melody and there's rhythm. And they describe how somehow inherently the proper rhythm and the proper melody is kind of connected to the innermost recesses of the psyche or mind that kind of open the heart. But it describes when the heart opens up and they support the name, then they quietly recede and the name, the shabda, the sound becomes prominent in the consciousness. So all you can hear is this ocean of the holy name rumbling like a cloud. And then the tears of the devotees, the rain of the cloud. And that's the beginning of the kirtan. So somehow or other, I came to the conclusion first, and usually I never get to the conclusion because the introductions are long. So we'll discuss this now. We'll put this time of Lord Chaitanya in kind of a context. So where we are in Gaur Lila, and understand a little bit about Gaur Lila and a little bit about Jagannath. The Ishtadeva of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya's desire is to attain the feelings and sentiments of love of the highest devotee, Srimati Radharani, at the height of her love. And to assist that, he worships Jagannath. Even when he goes to South India, he carves a deity of Jagannath. So, we'll start something like this, the definition of God, and we'll figure out where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fits into that. and then what his life is and how it fits into Puri. The definition of God, at least a nice one given in the Bhagavatam, is Vedanta tat tatvidas tatvaya jnanam advayam. Jnanam advayam. Advayam means non-dual, and jnanam means consciousness. So God is the consciousness which is inclusive of everything. That's why we have insignificance and great worth at the same time. Insignificance because we're infinitesimal. Significance because we're a part of God. Could we say without us, God couldn't be God because he wouldn't be everything? I don't know. What?
Couldn't say that.
I just did. Advayam Gyan. He's consciousness, which is inclusive of everything. But because that consciousness, as we can actually perceive reasonably in the world, that consciousness moves for pleasure, and pleasure is love. And love requires a subject and object. Eternally, God is also two. He's Shaktiman and Shakti. He's the possessor of potency and potency. And that's love, actually. That's what Vyasadeva saw when he wrote the Bhagavatam. He wanted to express the absolute truth so clearly. Why? Because he had to communicate it. To who? To people who didn't have such a frame of reference to understand it. So the less people have the frame of reference to understand what you're talking about, the deeper your realization has to be to communicate it. So he thought about it deeply. He thought about it deeply. And what did he do? He just purified his consciousness. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranayate mala. He engaged in devotional service. I assume he must have been chanting the Maha Mantra. What does it mean? Bhakti yogena manasi. He engaged his mind in the linking process of devotional service. Samyak pranayate mala. Without any distraction. Attentive chanting. He attentively chanted. We can imagine Vyasadeva's japa. He attentively chanted, and what happened? Then you see the truth. You see the truth. That's the process. There's three aspects of philosophy in every philosophy. There's a metaphysics, which describes reality. There's a method of realizing it. And then there's a description of the result of doing so. So in the process of bhakti, the metaphysics is there's Krishna and Krishna's energies. That's all there is. There's God, the source of all energies, and there's his energies. The means of realizing it is bhakti. And the result of doing so is called prema or love. Because when you realize God, you feel God. And you feel your relationship with God. And this is called sambandha, abhideya, and priyojana. The metaphysics, the means, and the goal. So when you meditate with the means, when you turn your consciousness to God, that's bhakti, then God reciprocates by revealing himself. That's even a common psychological phenomenon in the world. You can't know anyone unless you love someone. You can throw them into prison, you can tie them up, but you'll never know them because you don't love them. And so this is the process. You love God, you turn your consciousness to God. And then God reveals himself, and then he reveals himself, and then he reveals yourself. As you see the sun, you see everything else. But what did he say? Apasyat purusham purnam. He saw, wow, what is that ultimate reality? It's a supreme personality of God, and maya chetana pasya, with all these energies. And ultimately, when he kept on focusing on it, that ultimate reality became clearer and clearer. What was the relationship between God and his energies? It was love. And what is the essence of his energy? The Purna Shakti, they say, is Sri Radha. So it's love. It's devotion. So what did he see? He see God changing, exchanging with his energies. And what does that mean? What energy? Love of Godhead. And where is it? It's put in the hearts of all these expansions. And that's actually what real bhakti means. Our goal is to so strongly desire to serve God that he trusts us with the bhakti energy, the essence of his bliss potency. And when that flows through the heart, that's called prema bhakti. So he saw all this. So you have God must be one. He must be energy, which is inclusive of everything. He also must be two, because for love to exist, there must be an exchange. So he expands specifically for this purpose of love. And now the Chaitanya part, which is such a beautiful theological conception. God must be enjoying. That's reasonable. What would you do if you were God? You'd probably enjoy in the wrong way, like we do now. But you would enjoy in the right way. And what's that? Pure love. I always loved that story. I tell so many times when Prabhupada told this story. In two parts, the first part he tells, he has a German godbrother, Sadanand, who is extremely intelligent. So he goes to India and he tries to find God. So he sees all these incredible forms of deities. And I think this is our realization too. You see all these forms, and then he sees the form of Radha Govinda. He sees the form of this beautiful figure playing a flute, wearing a peacock feather. How can that not be God? Wearing a peacock feather, a golden silk dhoti, most excellent dancer, lotus eyes, threefold bending form, swarthy, perfect color. He's so intelligent. He said, this must be God, because God must be enjoying. And then Prabhupada said, Prabhupada was challenged, because Prabhupada gave a very heavy lecture on regulative principles. Yam, Niyam. Very heavy lecture. So someone asked Prabhupada, what do you do in your society for recreation? And Prabhupada says, our society is simply recreation. Chanting, dancing, feasting. He said, you never see a picture of Krishna smoking a cigarette and wearing a construction helmet. So God's enjoying what is love. So you have the image, yes, that God is enjoying love of his devotees. And it's an energy. It's one of his energies. In Jiva Dharma, it explains that God has two pleasures, Sarup Ananda, his self-pleasure, and Bhakti Ananda, his pleasure of love. So the pleasure of love must somehow come from outside him to him, within him.
Say that again?
It must come from outside him to him, but from within him, because nothing can be outside of God. Anyway, comes from his devotee, so that his love, so he's enjoying that love. It's an energy. But this energy of love is a very interesting thing. It's a flavor, but somehow or other, the taste is different, whether you're on the receiving end of it or the giving end of it. And it's the same energy. And the classic example of motherly love. A child enjoys motherly love. A mother enjoys motherly love. It's the same energy. But the giving side enjoys more than the receiving side. So therefore, in this beautiful theological conception, there's one absolute reality, and then he separates into two, and he becomes the object of love of his devotees, and especially of his topmost devotee, Radha. But in his eternal analysis, he concludes that this pleasure of the giver of love at the height of her love is actually something I don't have, and indeed more relishable. And we see that in the modern world. People like being loved by their mother, but the mother is enjoying it more. So Krishna has to become his own devotee. And that's the story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his life is the example of someone becoming a devotee. So in that sense, we have the same problem. What was that?
The generator.
What?
Generator turned on.
Okay. We have the same problem as God. What is our problem? We want to become devotees. And what is God's problem? He wants to become a devotee. The only thing is, we're not, and he's eternally wanting to become a devotee and a devotee at the same time, because he's beyond time. So his lila is that he wants to become a devotee. So the first part of Chaitanya lila is he's not a devotee. Because where do you get devotion?
Devotee.
It's in the heart of the devotee. You want to get love of Godhead, you have to go to one who has it. So God comes as Chaitanya. He doesn't have love of Godhead. And then his father dies, and he goes to perform oblations, pinda, to his father. It's the duty of his son. And he goes to Gaya, and then he meets his guru. And he gets love of Godhead. Of course, being God, he's the best disciple, so he surrenders. He surrenders immediately. Lock that door so people can come in the back. It's much less distracting. So God is the best devotee. So when he takes initiation from his guru, he completely surrenders and changes his consciousness, and therefore feels the full force of what is in his guru's heart. The ego changes immediately. I read this transcript. It's very interesting. I had a friend, he's a scholar. And he had this transcript from this old sadhu in Vrindavan that he translated into English. So he gave such a beautiful analogy of what is initiation. And it really was in line with the teachings of Prabhupada. And he didn't describe it as just a fire and a few grains. He described it as a change of attitude. And he gave the example in Indian culture. A girl has an identity. I am the daughter of my father. When she gets married and makes the commitment, her identity changes. I am the wife of my husband. The whole consciousness shifts in that kind of... She said the same sense. Well, the real initiation is not just a fire. It's this this shift in attitude from I am the center to I am the servant of the center. And when one has that consciousness, that's the position where love actually flows to the heart. So when Lord Chaitanya is the example, he's God. And when he takes initiation, the consciousness changes completely. And immediately, he gets prema bhakti. And then when he comes home, he's completely transformed. And he has this love. But it doesn't end there. He doesn't end. He has this bhava. He cultivates it. And what's the first thing he starts to do? He starts to do a lot of kirtan. 12 hours a day. 12 hours a day, every evening. And then his life is divided into two sections, basically. There's the Adi Leela. He lives 48 years. The Adi Leela is to 24 years of age, and then it's the Sesha Leela. Then the end Leela is he takes sannyas, he leaves home, and he leaves from a place that's now known as Nirdoya Ghat. Why Nirdoya Ghat? It means without mercy. Because he leaves. And when they do this, these kirtans, and what is it, it's going to come up, Jayadev Goswami's appearance in a few days, they have these Jayadev malas in Bengal, and millions of people come. And they have this Drupada kirtan. And I have one student, he's studying for a PhD in ethnomusicology, concentrating on Bengali kirtan, the origins of Bengali kirtan. So he went to this mela. And you know, when people have swabhavika bhakti, when it's natural, he describes that people sit in the kirtans, and there's hundreds and hundreds of kirtan groups. They sit in the kirtan. There's no place where they live. They sit in the kirtan. Then they go out to the bathroom, bathe, come back to the kirtan, eat someplace, sleep right there. But a lot of them are this pastime of Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas and the feelings of his mother and how she felt. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya takes sannyas, then his life is divided into two parts, Madhya Leela, the middle Leela, and the Ancha Leela, the end Leela. The Madhya Leela is 6 years where he travels, experiences God's creation, widely spreads Krishna consciousness, and then more or less the last 18 years he settles in Puri. And then that has two divisions. 6 years he's more with the devotees, and 12 years he does more and more seclusion. and more this personal bhajan. And it's interesting, when he's with the devotees, his feelings are so intense. And it's described in bhakti, in higher states of bhakti, there's different bhavas. So when you have a relationship with Krishna, and his relationship is the mood of Radha, it gets so intense, then it has to be expressed. And how is it expressed? In kirtan. You have to express it. And the expression of it enhances it. Because it's not just an action, it's a bhava. It's a mood. Not just dancing, it's not just singing. It's the form of a mood that mixes together to make your feelings come to rasa, which is the height of love. So, he stays in Puri for 18 years. And he concentrates, and this is the part where we see the Rath Yatra festival in Puri. And he comes to Puri, and I think Madhavananda is going to explain more tonight, that they're very, very special dhams. Love in its fullest expression, and God's love in its fullest expression, has three moods. One is love has a mood of intimacy. It's called Madhurya, and that's in Vrindavan. It has a mood of magnanimity, compassion. Audarya, that's Navadvip. And sometimes it's described, Navadvip's completely non-different. It's just moods in God change. And we know when moods change, form changes. Just see how your form changes from jubilation to outright rage. Moods, right? We always say, pale with fright, green with envy, blue with depression, red with rage, yellow with cowardice. So somehow the form changes. And that when the magnanimity just rises, because it's all there, it's not like you're one mood or another, but when the mood of magnanimity rises in the divine, then it becomes Navadvip, Puri. And then Madhavananda Prabhu, I'm going to repeat the point he made yesterday about Puri, which was so interesting. So interesting. The idea of Krishna appearing as Chaitanya, so his internal reason is Krishna wants to experience the love of Radha, his topmost devotee, at the height of love. And what is her height of love? Her height of love is her deep feelings of separation. And therefore, when we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Gambhira and how he cultivates his Krishna consciousness, you want a particular feeling in your heart. That's what bhakti is. Bhakti is a feeling in your heart of love. And love comes in relationship. And relationship is particular. And it comes in different forms. There's friendship, there's conjugal love, there's parental love, there's servitude, there's appreciation. Shantaras. You become a fan of God. You sit in the audience, you applaud, you never do any service. Shantaras. People like that. Like a fan. So,
what was the point that Madhava Nanda made? No, you were
gonna, yeah, I'm going to get to that point. Yeah, we don't want to miss that point. It's coming. Thank you. No, really. So the love comes in different relationships. So God wants the love that is the most intense, which comes from the devotee who is has the embodiment of that love at the height of that love. So when we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's in the Gambhira, and he's cultivating that love, one of the ways that it comes is you hear things that embody that love. Even in a mundane sense, you know, a young girl, young boy, they become infatuated. They want to hear these songs of people who are more infatuated than they are. And they hope that increases their lust. So same thing with love of Godhead. You hear the stories and songs of people who have perfected that love. And just the nature of that medium is that it comes into your heart. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would do this. So he listened to the Bhagavatam, and what stories, if you look in the CC, what stories does he when Krishna leaves the rasa dance, this mood of Radharani and separation, when Akrura comes to take Krishna from Vrindavan. And there's a book about this. Madhavananda is going to put out his books that he wrote. And mostly on his Guru Maharaj's teaching, Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj, he wrote this book, Embankment of Separation. And he's describing that there's three types of feelings of separation. So the example was, just imagine this, you love Krishna so much. You can't even imagine it because it's the supreme love. How intense are our feelings in this world? And they're just mental, they're not even existential. This is an energy of love that enters in the heart. It's the supreme energy. What are those feelings like? And what happens? So he describes that Akrura comes to take Radha. So the word gets around Braj. Krishna's going tomorrow. The mood of separation starts to well in their heart. Then Krishna gets on the chariot and the wheels start moving. What are the feelings of love in the heart of Radha when those wheels start moving? And then, gone. And I say this many times that only a few people, maybe from New York, will understand this, that love is called going, going, gone. Okay. All right. Okay, a few people. I was just about to ask Madhavananda the different terms for that, but he had to go to the bathroom or something. Okay. What?
Bhavi.
Bhavi.
Bhuta.
Bhuta. Bhavani.
Bhavan.
Bhavan. Going, going, gone. So Lord Chaitanya, so Krishna, what is that feeling of love? And also the sentiments of Radharani when she meets Krishna after 96 years in Kurukshetra. And Krishna is sitting on a horse with the as a king, surrounded Raja Vesh, surrounded by all the soldiers that are and subjects. Long live the king! Long live the king! And he's sitting up there and she sees him. And Krishna's not going to go, oh baby, you're so sweet. It can't come out in that atmosphere. So she's in terrible separation because Krishna can't manifest as her lover. And that's the whole Rathiatra festival. The inner meaning of the Rathiatra festival is the mood of Radha taking Krishna back to Vrindavan and the sentiments that are experienced there. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna
wanting to experience that feeling. Because the height of love is the height of pleasure. Even if it burns. The height of love is the height of pleasure. So taking back to Vrindavan, he wants to experience that. So Jagannath, you see, some deities are particular forms of God. But some deities are particular pastimes of God. Radha Gididhar in Krishna. And Jagannath is not only the form of God in a particular activity of God, but it's when God himself does that activity. Because God actually comes out of his place of opulence and goes to Vrindavan. Gundicha temple, we may see that. That's Vrindavan. And he comes. So he wants to experience those sentiments. So the point that Madhavananda made, that's very, very brilliant. In Navadvip, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has different relationships. He has parental love, friendship, wife. There's different relationships. And he's the object of that love. But the whole purpose of his descent is not to be the object of that love, but to be the subject of that love and feel it in the mood of separation. And what is the deity of Jagannath? It's the form of that Krishna that invokes that sentiment of love to the highest degree. So love has these three different aspects. It's Madhurya intimacy, magnanimity, and then Viparlamba, or separation. So this is Viparlamba Kshetra, the mood of separation. I'll embarrass you. Janine told me, when she came from Mayapur, she told me, she said, in Mayapur, I was smelling the mercy. I was tasting, I was feeling the mercy. It seems to be everywhere in the air. I don't feel the same here. You're not supposed to. It's a different mood of the same person, of the same place. It's the mood of separation. Mood of separation. And there's different benedictions of the different dhams. In Vrindavan, you become, get love of Godhead by the dust of Vrindavan. If any of you there with me in Vrindavan, I discovered a new place that's just, I took Giriraj Swami there, and he just fainted in ecstasy. I couldn't get him out of the mud. Even though he has bronchitis. It's a place in Vrindavan where the sadhus, it's 10 acres, where they live as the Goswamis were living 500 years ago. And they worship the dust of Vrindavan. Everyone's with a wood broom sweeping it. They're picking up the thorns. They're sifting the sand. And when you go to their temple room, you go into their complex. It's, you know, it's beautiful forest. You go into their complex, they have these nice little altar with deities. And then it's kind of in their temple complex, but it's all this Braj Raj, the sand of Vrindavan, about a foot thick. And Giriraj Swami with his bronchitis, he paid obeisances. And he paid obeisances. And obeisances. He just wouldn't get up. He said, now I understand how Krishna is the fragrance of the earth. when I'm smelling the original Braj Raj. So the dust of Vrindavan, Mayapur by the Kirtan, and Puri by the Prasadam. Love of Godhead just by the Prasadam. And that Prasadam we get is coming directly off the altar. And we get in the same pots that's been offered in the altar. So it's the Jagannath Prasad. Mercy of Jagannath. So, my iPad, you're right, Lakshmi Moni, I should have had a book. It jumped 80 verses in ecstasy. And now Lord Chaitanya is offering prayers to the deities. Naham Bipo, Chanadapatir, Vaishno, Nasudra. I am not a Brahmin. He's before Jagannath. I am not a Kshatriya. I'm not a Vaishya Sudra. Nor am I a Brahmacharya, householder, a Vanaprastha, a Sannyas. I identify myself only as the servant of the servant of the servant of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. He is like an ocean of nectar, and he is the cause of universal transcendental bliss. He's always existing with brilliance. And we'll tell more of this story, which I haven't really begun. But we'll tell more of this story. It's very beautiful. The Rath Yatra Festival and how colorful it is. Wherever there is real love, there's beauty because you want to please. So, I'm just going to give a little something about our festival here and our objectives here. First, I'll give a little history. Shastra, you can raise your hand. About 8 years ago, was that the first time you ever came to India?
Second. Well, second after a long gap.
Yeah, after typical long gap. Had to raise a family, start a business. Sometimes there's a long gap, hard to get to Vrindavan. So he comes after a long time, and I meet him in Vrindavan. And then somehow or other we decide to go to Puri the next year. So at that time, when America was a rich country and Shastra is doing a lot better than he is now, but he's happier now. And he said, I will sponsor next year, let's go to Puri. And then with Guru Grai Maharaj, and then he had some Argentinian devotees. So the idea was of the festival, we're just all going together to just go on parikram. But I live in Vrindavan, and Puri, I can't organize there. How do I organize in Puri? So I called Madhavananda and Krishna Kund, and they helped us organize a little festival. And the place where we gave the katha was not even half the size of this room. So the place that we found was called the Prabhupada Hotel. Now, when Jayadvaita Maharaj came, he made the comment, the only thing Prabhupada about this hotel is the name. Then they were selling Mayavadi books, which somehow disappeared the second day we were there. I suspect that Jayadvaita Swami stole them. I can't prove that point. But it's completely consistent with him. And anyway, it had advantage. It was right on the beach. You know, the facilities weren't there, but we weren't so satisfied with the facilities, etc. So the next year, and Shastra's business was still going up, we upgraded to the swimming hotel. Now that really had incredible facilities for the rooms. They were like beautiful, right? It was a new hotel, and we had the little katha, same thing, half the size this, on the side of the swimming pool and the garden. And it was kind of really nice, but the place for prasadam, we had to do it in shifts, and it was like a dungy dungeon. So, and that's the nature of the world. There's always some sweet rice, sand in the sweet rice. Because if everything goes your way completely, then you're really in trouble. Because when everything goes your way completely, it really fosters an idea. This is what I want. This is how it is. I am the controller. And as soon as you get in that consciousness, you're really in trouble. Because whatever you've achieved is temporary and it's superficial. So, there's always a pinch. There's always something that's thrown in to make you search for something deeper and more real. We all know it. Although, myself included, we still have this objective. In the future, it will be just the way I want. And as my godbrother Tamal Krishnamurti told me, we always think in the future it'll get better, but it only gets worse. So there was that pinch there. So we went to the swimming hotel as a pinch. But then the real pinch next year is we did that 2 years and they raised the prices. They priced us out. So then we found this place, Gajapati Hotel. And it really had some nice features. It was like this. You know, we had a nice lawn to have the program. And then, but Indian culture started to change. And after the second or third year, one day they had they weren't supposed to, but they had a disco party. So somehow or other, Madhavananda was wandering in depression after that. And we found this place. And it almost gave me the realization, and this is an experiment in physics. Really, there's an experiment. And all physicists know it, that you can determine the past by the future. There's actually an experiment in physics. I read it made sense. I didn't understand it completely. But if I read it to you, you'd understand what they did to prove that. So sometimes it's like that when you have a desire in Krishna consciousness, something appears that apparently never existed, but all of a sudden has a history. Because why we never found this place? And it's actually ideal. But it has a little pinch. But I think that pinch is less than any of the other pinches. The pinch is, there's no hot water in the room. But that's also good, out of the comfort zone. So the festival, so it started, and we just actually kept the same mood, because it's never advertised. It's just, we're just going on parikram. And then a few friends join us, and a few more friends join us. And then, really, this is my experience too. If you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is an express, Chaitanya Charitamrita means, Chaitanya means life force, Charita means character, Amrita means immortality. So it's described, what is the life of God? It's the character of the life force in immortality. So you really want to know what perfectional consciousness is, which is eternal consciousness. So what is it? It's love and surrender. And what this describes is a culture and society where that is based. And what is that called? Really, it's called community. I saw this. I was giving a retreat in upstate New York, and I wanted to express something like this. And it was right after that Boston massacre. And then I read this statement by the cardinal, and he described how people came together after that. Right? And he described in very poignant words And he describes when people get together, there can be two things. There can be a community or there can be a crowd. The same amount of people. And the crowd means separate interests. The community means one interest. And unless you belong to a community, you can't actually experience bhakti. You can't experience bhakti. You need to be part of a community. I know there's one sannyasi in Russia, and someone was telling me about how he's training the brahmacharis. And he tells them, if you want to be a brahmachari, you have to be the servant of everyone. And he said, you can't do that, then be the servant of the family. So I thought, what's the consciousness? The consciousness is you need a place where you feel comfortable stepping out of the center. And if you don't have that place, you never can feel love. If you're in a family unit that works, every single member is happy to put the family interest above their own, knowing that that serves them better than if they put their own interest first. There's a nice definition of ritual. We have one's philosopher friend, he's a professor of philosophy, and he shares with me, he got really fired up about Confucius, and it was such nice points. Confucius defined ritual as to conform to something greater than yourself. It's not just a mechanical thing. It's part of culture. You organize, that's why there's the deity. The deity is to conform to something greater than yourself. I was just in Mayapur, and the last day, this Russian family kept on saying, please come see our deities, please come see our deities, please come see our deities. And they were pure, and they had these brilliant smiles, and they came to me 10 times. And I was so busy, and I said, oh yeah, okay, another thing to go to. But then I was with someone and they said, no, these people are very special. You have to go. Right? So what it is, it's for like 12 years. There's a family. Babushka, right? Is that the right term? An old Russian. Usually the New Yorkers laugh at my jokes. Now I got some Russians laughing. Okay, babushka. An older lady, typical, and her husband, and then they have 3 children and grandchildren, and then they have 2 young men dedicated to them and 2 women dedicated, and the whole family is completely dedicated to these deities, Radha Gopi Janavala. Completely. There's no separate interest in that house. They do 7 offerings a day. They wanted to worship Radha Krishna deities, and their guru is Niranjan Swami. He said, well, if you want to worship Radha Krishna deity, this is this, and they follow it. And you walk in there, and how beautiful it is, where it's not self-centered, it's community-centered, it's God-centered, and where love can flow so strongly. So what we try to do, and I think one of the great things of having retreats in a spiritual society, is you really have a chance to develop a community. And if it's done properly, you feel real comfortable that this unit and its function is serving my core desires better than if I put myself in the center. And that's really a shift. The way I think. The way most people think. So it's such an advantage. And not only that, what we try to do here is have the same exact community that's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We try, and this is the advantage of Gaur Lila. The advantage of approaching Krishna in Gaur Lila is that it's more accessible. Like we went in Mayapur, all the places of Vrindavan are there. So we went to Srivas Angam, where the Sankirtan mission began. And we did Kirtan there. But in Krishna Lila, it's a little esoteric. This is Rasa Stali. So it's the same thing as the Rasa dance. So what is the Rasa dance? Its most important thing is that there's an intense love in a particular mood. And there's singing and dancing to facilitate it. But the form of that singing and dancing in Krishna's Lila and the form of that singing and dancing in Gaur Lila, the singing and dancing in Gaur Lila is something that you can enter into. But the important thing is not the form, it's the mood. So what we try to do here is recreate Gaur Lila and do exact same activities in the association of incredible devotees. Incredible devotees. Young, old, new, been around for a long time, but incredible devotees. Why? Because they have the mercy of Prabhupada. And the mercy of Prabhupada means that mood of pure devotional service, that seed has been put in the heart. So we enter into that and we do what they do. Lord Chaitanya, he would eat five times what any man could eat. Eating Jagannath Prasad, doing kirtan, hearing the Hare Katha. It's practically doing the exact. And that was my realization when I went on Navadvip Mandal Parikram, where we walked to all the nine islands. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So in the same way, we'll just live in this community where there's this. And I got this idea of how the community formed because, you know, we organize it, Madhavananda and myself, and we make great plans. And I remember one year, a few very senior Vaishnavas showed up, right? But, you know, we thought very deeply how to do this and how to make a plan, you know. So what could happen in that type of thing is, although we definitely try to facilitate everyone, if someone could, like, be demanding, they can have their own desire. And they're worthy. I should also speak and I should also speak. But I was so impressed that everyone that entered into it just look, what is the ultimate objective and how we can serve it? And then it creates such a beautiful spirit. And I saw it kind of even carried on from last year because, you know, we didn't even start it last night and the kirtans were just so incredible. And in that same mood, you know, that same mood, everyone doing and everyone coming forth. It was great. Okay. Now, what I'm going to do now is to... And when I was in Mayapur, I have a godbrother, Ram Shraddha. He knows very cultural kirtan. And one time after I gave class, he chastised me. He said, if you don't end with kirtan, there's no ras. So we'll end with 5 minutes of kirtan, and then I'll have to make Oh, I didn't even ask for questions, huh? Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
This is a two-part question.
Yeah.
And it's based on your statement that Prasad Hari's book,
yeah,
Kirtan is an expression of Bhava,
yeah,
from the heart. Through the medium or discipline of music.
Yeah.
So does that mean, in order to enter into, this may sound very biased,
yeah,
enter into true kirtan, you have to practice bhakti?
Well, that's what kirtan is. It's the expression of love for God. Of course, it can be called kirtan, but if there's no love for God, if the kirtan is about oneself, I mean, you know, this, okay, can be called kirtan in one definition, but this definition of kirtan, let's call it shuddha kirtan, prema kirtan. It's certainly not prema kirtan because there's no prema. And you always see the best kirtaniers, the kirtan is not about themselves. Right? We always see it. The person has another consciousness. Right? Pradyumna Prabhu, our great God brother, Vaishnav scholar, he was quoting from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, humbler than a blade of grass. And he compared it to kirtan, right? There's a lawn, and the lawn has an effect, right? And each blade contributes to the effect. But no blade thinks, boy, I'm a really great blade. You know? So he said, that's Trinadapi kirtan. That's Trinadapi kirtan. That's humble kirtan. Another example is symphony orchestra. As soon as there's some virtuoso into themselves, you know, going into an independent rift, they're out of the orchestra. It's about the effect, the contribution. And of course, because I know in Bhakti Sandarbha, you know, it was giving these progressions of, and the best is kirtan, and the best is to do kirtan, actually. But then there was a disclaimer, you know, really, unless you see there's someone that can do it better. You know, so that's a little consideration there. Because the consideration for is how to make the best offering. Yeah. Yeah.
Part B,
yeah,
is, and I don't know how to really express this, but it comes from a conversation Shaka and I were having,
yeah,
on the way back from Tokyo Gopinath.
Yeah.
There seems to be a kind of a pervasive anxiety about the direction kirtan is going in.
Yeah.
In the sense that Prabhupada was very specific. Sadhari in his essays,
yes,
Tal and Raga is very, very important,
yeah,
because it's a specific expression, and the,
yeah,
expression is best put out,
yeah, yeah,
through Raga and,
yeah,
Tal.
Yeah.
But it seems like kirtan in general seems to be going in any, you know, anything goes.
Okay, well, my comment on that is the most important thing is the bhav. And if the bhav is there, even if some of the things are not so expert, you know, the bhav is still there. The problem is when the bhav is not there and it goes in different ways according to people's modes. Because, let me explain. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also, you know, it's famous at the end of his life, there was someone doing very beautiful kirtan, right? But and it was a great devotee, but he pointed to someone else who wasn't as expert, but who had the bhav. So I think the most important thing is the bhav. Now, in terms of kirtan, what I see is that the legacy of Prabhupada and his disciples, at least my perception is, it's just exploding and it's hard to control, which is a good thing in one sense. But what I see in many places is that there is a great presence of shuddha kirtan and people who know how to do it. You know, it's just hard to control the whole thing. But I really do feel that the parampara from Prabhupada and kirtan is definitely, I don't think you're saying that, is definitely not broken. There's many people, and not just Prabhupada disciples, but the disciples and disciples and new people. They're coming in, and they're really seeing that. But obviously, you know, it's not everybody is as pure, not everybody is as expert, you know. But I think if the mood is there, you know, then it'll be carried on as best as it can.
Seems to be less a matter of expertise, because
yeah.
there's lots of expertise,
yeah.
especially in this culture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Music is very,
yeah.
it seems to be more the yeah. mood. And the guideline seems to, you know, Prabhupada gave some guidelines, and some of those guidelines seem to be out the window. So, I mean, how do you adjust?
For myself, I haven't seen such a great problem, but I understand in some places. I mean, really, what you're talking about now is management. You know what I'm saying? When there's leaders that are qualified and inspirational, then they'll have an ability to teach people and you know, what the right things are. So what you're explaining is when there's not that leadership sometimes in some places, you know? You know what I'm saying? You know, when then the things will become proper. So it's just, it's a sociological phenomenon, but, you know, ISKCON is way beyond the temples. The movement is just expanding, you know? And, you know, like any movement, there's going to have different groups and things, and they're not as pure and things. I think people are just going to have to pick their church within the Hare Krishna movement. You know, the one, they'll gravitate towards the programs and places that represent their ideals. Okay, I have to end with kirtan. Okay, one more quick. Hey, Shaka? Okay.
Could you use the word culture several times? Yeah. Can you explain what you mean?
Yeah, a great definition of culture that I got from a scholar. I loved his definition. He said, culture means how you consciously construct your environment to create impressions in the consciousness that help you to learn better, communicate better, and relate to others better. And if you think of a cultured person, you'll see how expertly they relate with various types of people, how they're able to communicate in the proper way, and how they're actually to learn, you know, if you think of a cultured person. And I think of the story when I used to have the service of inviting senior Vaishnavas in Vrindavan to Prabhupada's disappearance day. And I went to one Vaishnava and he was very hesitant to speak. And I was trying to ask him, I said, "Do you know Prabhupada? Do you know Prabhupada?" He said, "I did not know Prabhupada." I said, no, you would probably. He said, "I didn't know Prabhupada." He said, "Just like when you're in the temple before the deities and you're talking to your friend, you know, do you really know Krishna?" It's in the same way, I didn't know that who Prabhupada was. He was like that. But I said, "Well, you know, say something." So finally he said the thing that impressed him most about Prabhupada, he said, was his ability to relate to others. And he said, you know, when Prabhupada was with friends, he knew how to be, you know, exchange equally. You know, when he was with elders, you know, he knew how to be respectful. When he was with juniors, he knew how to be affectionate. So I think that's really what culture is. And in that regard, I think, at least it was, I think it's invaluable to have spent time in India. Just like you and your husband and your family spent time in India. You know, so you can see the result with your children. You know what I'm saying? There's something they absorb from looking around and seeing the people and how, you know, when the culture has been, of course, it's being covered. So, anyway, that's the definition of culture. Does that sound good? Okay. Because I'm a very time-conscious, scheduled, unspontaneous person. But I think even Krishna had astaka lila. He did things at particular times. So there's a relay. And I'm not commenting anything further about that comment. 5 minutes of kirtan, and then you have to stay for the announcements. Otherwise, among other things, you won't eat today. Just telling you, it's factual, too. Okay? You can meditate, perhaps, on the pastime of Lord Chaitanya dancing.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare.